It's Friday, and today that means live Q&A. Welcome to Radical Personal Finance, a show dedicated to providing you with the knowledge, skills, insight, and encouragement you need to live a rich and meaningful life now while building a plan for financial freedom in 10 years or less. My name is Joshua. I am your host, and I welcome you to today's Friday Q&A call. These Q&A calls work just like Call and Talk Radio does. I post a link to today's to the recording software for patrons of the show, those who sign up to support the show on Patreon. They call in, and we talk about whatever is on their mind. If you would like to join me on one of these Friday Q&A calls, the best way to do it is go to patreon.com/radicalpersonalfinance, patreon.com/radicalpersonalfinance, sign up to support the show there. And then whenever I do one of these, which is any Friday that I can be in front of a computer and in front of an internet connection, whenever I do one of these, you'll get notifications about the Q&A call, and you can join in and sign in and join. So I'd love to have you join me for the next Q&A call. Hope you will consider doing that. Quick note, this is probably one of your easiest and cheapest ways to ask me any questions that you want to talk about. Certainly, it's not entirely anonymous. You give me a name, and there's a voice, I guess, of you on the show. But beyond that, you give me any name you want and use any voice that you want. But if you want to talk about something, it's probably one of your least expensive ways to engage in consulting calls with me. So just encourage you, if you're a money-saving person, you want to talk with me, go to patreon.com/radicalpersonalfinance. I really think that's one of your best options. We begin with Jeff in North Carolina. Jeff, welcome to the show. How can I serve you today, sir?
Thanks, Joshua. Just a couple quick questions for you, mostly related to kind of my current housing situation. First of all, just appreciate everything you do. Been listening to you for a couple of years, and definitely gotten a lot of value out of everything you're teaching, especially from the podcast, but also through some of the courses. So definitely appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Sure. So first question related to my current housing situation. I'm in sort of a traditional lease. However, I did leave a kind of a cushy corporate job about 3 weeks ago, but kind of within that time, but also previously, been pretty inspired by, some of the things from like Early Retirement Extreme and also kind of some of the freedom things that you've been espousing on the show lately. And basically where I'm at is I have a buyout clause in my lease for my apartment. And basically what that means is with basically 60 days notice and 2 months rent, I'd be able to get out of the lease contract. And kind of on the extreme end of things, I was, entertaining the idea of moving into my Prius, doing a little bit of stealth camping in the time being till I find the next best thing.
I like it.
very nice. Absolutely. Kind of wanted to get your thoughts on, obviously, and I know you've kind of mentioned previously, doing, sort of whether it be van life, life on the road, and also I know you've mentioned Priuses for camping previously. So any cool advice you may have, just especially since you spent a lot of last year on the road, would appreciate any advice you have. So any additional details I can give you around the lease piece for your thoughts?
Yes, but I would say I don't imagine that there's another financial planner in the world who has spent, I've probably spent between 2 to 3 weeks, somewhere between 14 and 21 days camping in a Prius, on the road, stealth camping all over the place. So I cannot imagine that there's another financial advisor in the world, or at least a credentialed financial advisor in the world who can say that. If there is, you write to me and let me know, but I got to imagine I'm the only person in the world that would have any insight whatsoever on this question from a personal experience. Tell me more about kind of what you envision with your trip and what you envision doing, a little bit about the dream or the plan.
Sure. I'm not in a great financial situation at the moment. I was able to muster together about 10 grand after I left that job. So I have a decent cushion.
So you have 10 grand in the bank right now.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And I have about 60 grand in consumer debt. I have been able to, kind of, you know, control that a little bit. I put one of the larger personal loans on like a forbearance or whatever they call it. So it's not like a huge issue for till I find, you know, some better income. So I guess what I'm getting at is the goal isn't necessarily so much to kind of get out and see the world as opposed to just kind of have a practical way of cutting my housing costs pretty significantly just based on the fact that I already have the Prius.
Right.
And kind of, I mean, but I would also love to do, you know, some of those things if there is an excuse to do so. So that's, I just wanted to say that's not really the main focus, but it would be cool to do it as well.
Do you have an idea of a job that you'd like to take or a business you'd like to start or some way to generate income at the moment?
Yeah. My background is in kind of like sharing economy. I've done some work. I worked for a company that got acquired by Grubhub. You know, so sort of the management of independent contractors is sort of my, my background. And I would, you know, definitely be open to, keeping up with that space just because it is pretty interesting. But, you know, definitely leery of would prefer something that's as remote as possible, maybe a little travel required. But, you know, trying to stay out of the office sort of 9-to-5 type environment where I came from, because that was not great just because with a lot of my other previous roles, I had been pretty flexible with remote or travel type of arrangements.
So you got 10 grand in the bank, about $60,000 of debt. Do you have any other than, I guess, the car, do you have any other really significant assets, other investment assets, other real estate that you own?
Nope.
Okay. And what were you earning before you left the job?
100K.
Okay. Do you think that it's realistic that you could get another position in short order earning six figures?
I think short order, no, but definitely, potentially, you know, 90 days, maybe. Okay. But, you know, I mean, if I were to cut my housing costs basically to the bone, I could definitely, you know, look for something, you know, 60 to 75K would certainly be very doable for a solid lifestyle.
And how much is your monthly rent currently?
$1,100.
So to break the lease, you'd be on the hook for about $2,200.
Correct. However, just to kind of make that a little bit more clear, there would be 60 days notice. So it would be sort of like paying almost 4 months.
Understood.
But it would be sort of that 22 debt stroke after the 60 days.
Okay. So, all right. So what you're saying is you would give them 60 days notice today, and
right.
then you would pay $1,100, and then at the end of 60 days, then you owe $2,200. So basically it's about $4,400 that you're on the hook for right now.
Right.
Okay. How much time is left on the lease if you see it to fruition?
December. So a while.
Okay. Well, obviously that's a big chunk of money. And so right. before you do that, have you read your contract to see if you have a clause against subletting?
I'm not allowed to sublet, but the other sort of easier option that I had entertained was you can do like a lease takeover. So, you know, just go on Craigslist and, you know, see if somebody would, you know, be looking for that sort of duration and, you know, that price range kind of thing. So that's something else I had thought about, but the buyout would be the worst case scenario.
So let's talk about living in your car. it ain't great. And I think that's the first place to start with. It's great if sure. you're doing something that you're excited about. So it's great if you're traveling, in my opinion. It's great if you're engaging in some adventure that you want to do. But if you're just staying in your hometown and you happen to be sleeping in your car at the local Walmart, that's not great. And it starts to wear on you over time. You start to feel a little bit like you're kind of on the edge of society, just because, and it's not necessarily due to anyone else's perspective. You know, does anybody know if you're even staying in your car? Well, of course, if they see you when you're parking at night, depending on where you're actually parking, certainly. But it's more a matter of, it's not normal to be out and about in society at all hours of the day. The normal situation is you're either in an office or you're at home working, or you're at home in the privacy of your own walls. And so what wears on you over time is the feeling of, well, I'm kind of just always visible. You're never not visible to other people. And so you can never really relax. Now, that didn't come out right. You can relax, but it's just kind of weird. When you've been accustomed to the normal lifestyle, it's a little bit weird to be all of a sudden living in a car. Because what you'll find is, yes, can you sit in your car? Yes. And what you would do is you would get a comfortable chair and you would, you know, go to the local park and you would find some spots to hang out in. You would find some cafes to work in. You might go and start working at the local library with your laptop. But at the end of the day, it's still easy to feel this sense of unrootedness, this sense of just disconnectedness. And so the first thing that I would say is that I think it's better to, if you're going to live in your car, it's better to have a purpose that's beyond just simply, well, I'm doing this to save money. In a dire circumstance, can you do it? Yes, you can. But the reality is, I don't think you're in a dire circumstance. You have $10,000 in the bank. You could pay your rent, cover your expenses for a few months, and then get another job and then pick back up where things were. And since you could do that, I think that you should consider doing that and have the living in your car thing as almost a thing of last resort rather than going ahead with the plan right away. Now, where I would change on that is if living in the car would allow you to do something that you were truly excited about. And by the way, let me ask, what part of the country are you living in?
I'm in the Southeast.
In the Southeast. Okay. So it depends. There's a big difference between, you know, the Southeast versus the West versus the Northeast in terms of how easy it is to do it. I camped in my car in the Northeast, where I was, you know, hiding in a local park, sleeping at night. And it's hard because there's not nearly as many places to go and things to do. Now, if you're in a place where there's abundant government land, BLM land, things like that, where you can park and camp for free. If you're in a place where it's easy to do it at Walmart and things like that, it's a lot easier than if you're in the middle of a big city in the Northeast. So that needs to come into play as well. So what I would say is the first thing you should do is, if you're going to do it, think about doing it at least in the context of a trip. Because if you just decide today, I'm going to go and camp in my car in your hometown, I think that by the end of the week, you'll be back home. Whereas if you're on a trip, okay, well, now there's something, you're seeing something new, you're doing something new, you're meeting interesting new people, and it's a little bit more, you have more of a reason for doing it. That's just my experience. If I were going to travel, traveling in a Prius is adequate, and you get great benefit of having such great gas mileage that you can travel very comfortably and travel long distances as a single man. But if I were going to live in a car, I would not choose a Prius to live in, because you just don't have anywhere to really relax. And so at the very least, if I were in a situation, at the very least, I would buy, you know, a pickup and a truck camper, or at least a van, something like that, where you can be in the vehicle and you can do things like cook in the vehicle, et cetera, without it being so weird and strange as a Prius. So that would be the first thought. Now, second thing would be, if you have a clear goal of what you're going to, yes, the lease comes into account. And so the first thing I would do today is I would start, if you're allowed to advertise for somebody to take over the lease, the first thing I would do today is I would start advertising for someone to take over the lease. There's no reason why you can't advertise for that. And you might find somebody willing to do that. Even if you have to pay a little bit of money, let's say that your lease is $1,100 and you tell someone, I'll lease it to you for $900 and I'll make up $200. That, of course, would save you a lot of money as opposed to the $4,400. I would also look around my network and see, do I have any, you know, homeless friends or, you know, a brother or someone like that who could just come and crash with me on the couch? Is it technically subletting? It's kind of one of those gray areas, maybe technically. But if you found someone that was willing to pay you $500 a month to stay in your place, then I think that you would find it worth the effort to stay in the apartment. And then as far as the next step, I think the biggest thing is going to be, what are you going to do? And going back to the car thing, to trying to answer your question, if you're going to get a job, I recommend you don't do the car thing. I recommend you go ahead and get a job, because when you do the car thing, you'll feel like you're a little bit on the edge of society. It's very hard to stay feeling normal. Even if you get a gym membership and you shower at the gym and you get dressed, it just causes you to feel a little bit weird, and it weighs on you, and you're not at your best. And I've even learned this myself with regard to staying in places like cheap hotels. When I was younger and broker, I was always staying at whatever place was the cheapest. And I didn't understand why people would pay lots of money for a night in a hotel in order to, when they could buy something cheaper. Yeah, I got that it was nicer, but I'm not. To me, niceness is not that big of a deal. I just don't have to have fancy luxury all the time. And I figured, well, the cheap place is as good as anything, so why not save the money? And then what I learned is how I started to measure my productivity and my ability to actually get results. And I discovered that I really needed that I wasn't as productive in the cheap place, that if I didn't have a good table and a good chair in my room, I couldn't get as much work done. And I remember distinctly, I was in Canada on a business trip, and I was, this was a few years ago, and I was staying at I'd gotten a cheap hotel, but I didn't have, the desk was tiny, and I didn't really have a place to set up and work. And I lost a day of work. And I just said, that's it. I'm never doing this again. From now on, if I'm going to travel, I'm going to stay in a proper business class hotel where I have a proper desk to work at, because I'm just not as productive when I go to a coffee shop. I'm not as productive when I don't have a desk and a chair and an outlet and kind of the simple things. And the key is for me to be able to produce and to work. And so over the years, I've stopped my, you know, extremely frugal ways, just because I've recognized that if I indulge those extremely frugal ways, yeah, I don't spend much, but I also don't produce anything and I don't make much. And so it's more important for me to be productive, and my ability to produce value in the marketplace is far, far higher than what it costs me to stay at a business class hotel at, you know, $150 a night or whatever. And so it's basically that same concept, but to the extreme, to the max, with regard to staying in your car. Is it a good way to go on an adventure on the cheap? Yes, but not if you're expecting anything out of yourself as far as to produce anything. Not if you're expecting yourself to feel motivated every day to get out there and send out, you know, making calls and working on something and building a career website. And, you know, it's not in that situation. It doesn't work in that situation. And so if you're going to use it for an adventure, then I say, go for it. If you're not going to use it for an adventure, I would say stay in your apartment where you already have the lease. Try to find somebody who can come and stay with you for a time, and use your ability to be in your apartment to be productive and get yourself productive, whether that's to get another job, to do freelance work, to start a business, to do something. I don't think it's really possible for most people to be very productive when living in their car, not at the level that you're accustomed to being productive at.
Got it. Yeah. I definitely appreciate that insight. I think the one thing that kind of stuck out at me was, you know, just having kind of a plan. And frankly, I just hadn't really thought about it maybe that much, just due to the fact that if I probably were to do a trip, it would probably necessitate having to, you know, have the lease taken care of, just because it would be kind of an unnecessary burden to have going if I was going to be gone for a couple months, to kind of have that, you know, that expense still there.
Right.
However, you know, with the potential of getting that taken care of, you know, I definitely could see a trip, and, you know, getting excited about that trip. But one other thing I'd throw out there is, having kind of been chained to an office for a couple of years, frankly, the excitement of some freedom is sort of the exciting thing in itself for me at the moment. That mm-hmm. could sort of be the honeymoon phase, so to say, at the moment. But it's just sort of, you know, embracing the fact that you know, I can you know, sleep in a little bit and do things at my own pace, and, you know, really just sort of explore, you know, what's what's on my mind that day. And, you know, that's been a very illuminating experience that was obviously sort of put to bed, you know, with corporate life.
Mm-hmm. So to kind of complement that, what I would say, what I would encourage you is consider using a trip, but then just be open to working on the road. And just to clarify, you're single, not married, no children, no girlfriend, you know, romantic relationships?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so good. So then that allows you to come and go as you like. And so what I would say is that consider using a trip, but head for a place where there's easy work and even work that may not be exactly what you're accustomed to. You know, think about going to Texas and getting a job in the Texas oil fields or think about heading north and seeing what emerges along the way. Because I resonate with that lack of wanting to be in the office, and I understand that. And so if you're at a point in your life where you've done that for a while and now you're ready for something else, then just use a trip as a way to explore, use a trip as a way to explore some other opportunities. What are the minimum payments, the minimum monthly payments on your debt at the moment?
Right now we're looking at about, if I were to include that loan that I mentioned earlier, it would be about $1,600, but without it, it's about $800.
The loan would be for a refinance. Tell me the details of the loan again. I missed that when you said it first time.
Yeah, it's a personal loan. It had been a refinance on some former credit card debt.
Okay.
I had put it into forbearance for about 90 days, so through April, I believe.
Got it. Well, if you feel a sense of frustration with the corporate world and you're not, and I say to you, listen, Jeff, just go get another job, and you say, I don't want to do it, then I would say that the Prius plan might be a good transition plan. If you have the ability to get rid of most of your stuff, except, you know, the basics that you need, pack them in the car. And let me ask, have you tried sleeping in the Prius? Have you done any nights in the Prius yet at this point?
I have a few times, and it's not bad. Yeah. You know, it's hard to do in the middle of Manhattan, but
right.
You know, you could definitely do it on in a quiet area.
Well, if you're going to travel, so there's the one way to do it, which is how I've done it, where you fold the back seat forward, fold the front seat back, and just kind of do it in a makeshift way. That's adequate. But what I would say is, if you're actually going to do it properly. You know, even take out the passenger seat, build a nice sleeping platform that's comfortable, get some bins, you know, get organized. The key to being happy in that kind of environment is to be organized. You need to be organized. You need to have some basic camping gear. You need to have a butane cook stove, a pot. You need to have a cooler at the very least. It's probably the simplest thing to start with is a high quality cooler, maybe a soft sided cooler, get the Ozark Trail ripoff at Walmart, but like the soft sided Yetis, those are good. And then you can just get ice from time to time from a grocery store to keep your food in. But you need to have the comfortable chair, a little table, so that basically you can pull into a local public park and be comfortable setting up and using a picnic table and cooking and whatnot as well. So you're not eating out all the time. The thing that'll kill your budget is if you don't have the ability to cook and you're eating out all the time. So a simple butane stove that you can get at Walmart, a simple cooler to keep some cool foods cold, some basic camping gear and a nice chair and a table where you can be comfortable outside of the car, I see are necessary. And then work out a bed platform that works for you. So if you take the, depending on how tall you are, if you take the seat out, then you could the front seat out. You could put a whole bed platform on the right side of it and not even need to put the back seat down, which gives you a place to sit inside the car still and work in the seat. Or you can go with the backseat down plan. So YouTube is your friend there. What I would do is, if I weren't willing at all to go back to the corporate world, even for a time, and I think you shouldn't dismiss it too quickly, because is it fun to go on the road? Yes. Is it fun to go on the road when you got $60,000 of debt and $10,000 in the bank? Well, it's a lot less fun than if you were debt-free. And so if you could get another $100,000 a year job, a year from now, you could be debt free. And so if you can stomach the plan to say, I'm going to get another job, work for a year and earn $100,000 and be debt free in a year, it's going to be a lot more fun to do it when you're debt free than right now. If that's not a plan that appeals to you, I don't see why you have to do it. I would say go on a trip, break the lease, and even if you don't make the lease payments, that just simply becomes one more debt that you owe, and you can pay it off when you can. I would not at this point, if I had $10,000, I would not at this point feel really good about taking $4,400 and giving it to them. So I would either add that onto a credit card somewhere, finance it with a credit card so that I could stretch out the payments until I could get a job, or just have it as a debt that I owe and then pay it off in a few months when I get a job, something like that to save my cash. And then I would head for a place that I'm interested in going and interested in checking out, and I would be open to and look for a job along the way. And I would consider doing some kind of lucrative manual labor job, again, Texas oil fields or you know, doing something up north, just because it's an interesting way to have a change in your life that's different than the corporate environment. And you might find, you know what, I really like the corporate environment after all. And if you are doing remote work, well, you can do that from wherever you happen to wind up being. But a little bit of money coming in so you can get your debt cleared up over the next couple of years will also make any kind of traveling a lot more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely intrigued by the idea of some of the less common manual labor jobs like that. So I think that's definitely something I would look into to potentially sustain it.
You can make a lot of money in those fields. And if you'll go where the work is, and I mentioned Texas just because, you know, I was in Texas not too long ago and was talking to some guys there. But if you go to a place like that, where the industry is booming, and if you're willing to do the work, I mean, it's not easy work, but I've always found manual work to be easier to do than the work that I do, because all I got to do is show up and work hard. And that's always, I've been doing that since I was a kid, show up and work hard. It's a lot easier for me to avoid work when it's mental work sitting in front of a desk. And the great thing about manual work is you go to work, you do the work, and then you leave. And when you leave, the job stays there. And as a single guy, you have the ability to take all the extra jobs, to take all the different contracts. And there's so many opportunities. You can easily make six figures in one of those jobs. And those jobs work well with a frugal lifestyle. You know, it seems to me that half the guys that work in the Texas oil fields live in RVs, and they do that because they need to live close to where they are and they need to move around for work. But it also happens to be a fairly frugal way to live. And so depending on how you do it, you know, there you can work offshore, or you're on an oil rig for a couple of weeks at a time, or a month on, or whatever the shifts are that they're offer, or you can do work on, but there are ways to make a lot of money in some of that kind of work. And, I think you would find it refreshing to do some physical heavy labor. It's easier to do than the office environment, in my opinion. I would rather, if you gave me the choice between going back to a cubicle world as a corporate drone versus going out and doing one of those jobs, where I'm working with a team of guys out in the woods, or out in the desert, I guess would be more appropriate. I would take the second option at this point. Now you're going to, there's some downsides, right? West Texas is not the most attractive of places to live, but it does fit very well into an extreme lifestyle. If you went to a job like that, or went up to, you know, Alaska, or did, you know, find some place where you can make a lot of money, but you're going to a place where workers are needed, you can live the early retirement extreme lifestyle, live extremely frugally, and 4 or 5 years later, you've got $500,000 in the bank, and now you have your freedom to go on to whatever's next. And so it's one of the fastest ways that I know of to reach a significant level of freedom, because you go to a high earning place with a low expenses. And if you just don't drink all the time and blow all your money on stupid stuff, you can save huge amounts of money and very quickly buy your freedom. So that's, I would be open to that if that appeals to you.
Yeah, for sure. Any other industries besides the oil fields ring any bells for you?
It's a good question. I don't, And that's one of the first ones that that comes to mind. And I've met people doing interesting work in that industry all around the country. One of the things that I noticed is that work, depending on the specific kind of work, tends to be fairly, it moves. And so I've met people in Wyoming, in Idaho, in Texas, but at a campground, there's often at least a couple of people that are their families are living in the campground while they're working on their jobs. And so I've never really dug into it all that much, but that's... So short answer is no, I don't have anything else. That would be where I would start. But I would bet if you went looking and started asking questions and did intense research on that, that there might be other options that would emerge along the way. That's the best I got, though. The other thing, I guess, would be seasonal work. If you're open to doing seasonal work, here it is February. So just an example, if you went up to the far north, even Alaska, and got yourself some seasonal work during the summertime up in Alaska, you could get there pretty inexpensively in your Prius. Then you can do the kind of thing where you work like crazy for 4 or 5, 6 months, and then you take the winter off. And there are all kinds of opportunities where that could work out. I don't know specifically what they are right now. When I was in Alaska, though, I did meet people that did that, and you see that people will go back and forth. And so you have the opportunity to do seasonal work if you're willing to relocate, and you can simply go where the work is and where you're paid the most during the summer.
Got it. Yeah, it makes sense. Cool. Yeah, definitely appreciate the insight on thinking about some new industries.
Good. Anything else?
What about just sort of if I were to deem the Prius, not acceptable for kind of long-term living, do you have any insight on kind of what maybe a good next step would be? I mean, my Prius is pretty new. It's probably worth $10,000 private sales. So, I feel like you could do a lot with that, with something else a little more comfortable.
Yeah. For a single guy, I would buy either a pickup truck and a truck camper, or an SUV or a pickup truck and a trailer. And this would depend a little bit on the kind of work that you imagined yourself doing. I think one of the best lifestyles is a pickup truck and a truck camper, because they're inexpensive. You can buy them inexpensively. You don't need anything fancy. So if you sold your Prius for $10,000, you could certainly get yourself a pickup truck and a truck camper for $10,000. And they're comfortable. And unlike the Prius, they allow you to set up and not feel like to feel at home, right? You have a table inside that you can sit at and you can work at. You have a proper bed that you can relax in. You have a stove, you have a sink, you have water tanks, you have those things that make it possible for you to live comfortably. And so I like the flexibility of a pickup truck and a truck camper. It's one of my favorite ways to do it. The only downside of a pickup truck and truck camper is that it's not quite as is if you need to drive a lot, if you need to drive your truck. So like the oil guys, let's say you were going to go work on the oil field. Well, you wouldn't want a pickup truck and a truck camper. You'd want a pickup truck and a small travel trailer, because you're going to need the truck for work and you're going to leave the trailer parked. And I think that also is a good solution. The travel trailers around you might be even cheaper, which would be a better way to start, where you just have a few $1,000 pickup truck and a few $1,000 travel trailer. You could certainly do that. And then now you have the ability to live comfortably. You can have an actual trailer. And so you're going to feel a lot more. So I'll give you an example. When you're trying to camp and live in a vehicle, one of the first things is, well, where am I going to be? Where am I going to be during the day? I'm not going to be driving. So where am I actually going to be? And if you're in a Prius, it's hot. The best that you can do in a Prius is to sometimes be in the car, but the best that you can do in a Prius is to pull up to a picnic pavilion where you have a table to work on, a bench, you can set up a comfortable chair, and then you have a place to cook, you have a place to be, you have a place to hang out. But you're always exposed to the weather, even in that circumstance. And the weather, what you find is that the weather can start to to wear on you. Sometimes it's very hot. Sometimes it's very cold. Sometimes it's windy. Sometimes it's rainy. Sometimes it's sunny. And you just want to get out of the weather sometimes. And so when you go ahead and move up a level to a trailer or to a camper, or you could do a van. I also, obviously people do vans. But when you move up a level and you have the ability to get out of the weather, it's really nice. Because now what was that hot, loud or cold, windy, loud rest area picnic table becomes just your camper that you're parked in, that you're in the rest area for the day. And you can work on your computer, you can do whatever you want, you can read, you can relax, and you can get out of the rain, you can get out of the wind. And that's really nice. And so it's worth it to have that if you think that you're going to do it for a longer period of time. It's really nice to have that ability. So I would shop both of those. Go look at some options and see. The truck camper can technically be taken off of a truck and put on the ground. Certainly you can do that, but it's a lot bigger of a hassle than a small trailer. And so if you were going to work and you were going to go on the road and you're going to be open to working, I would say probably a pickup truck and a small camper. And you don't need something big. The smaller you are, the better. And you can get inexpensive. You should be able to find a travel trailer for a few thousand dollars and a pickup truck for a few thousand dollars. And that would be enough to get you on the road.
Sounds good.
Anything else?
I think we've exhausted it.
Good. Well, I hope that you will have greater clarity and wisdom. I just encourage you, use the money that you have to get yourself started. It is, when you got $10,000 in the bank, it's easy to make a transition like you are making, because you can float your bills for a little while. You can float your bills and generate some income along the way. But you still only have a few months of wiggle room. And what I would say is, as quickly as you can, look for a way to earn some income, live frugally, and get your debt paid off. Because if you can go from having $60,000 of debt and no income to having $0 of debt and no income, you're going to have a very different experience with those two things. So if you want to make a transition, you can make a transition when you're in debt, but it's a lot easier when you're totally debt-free and a lot more fun.
Absolutely.
All right, Jeff, thanks for calling in, and I wish you all the best. That's it for today's Q&A show. Only had one caller today, so I would invite you next week, call in. Go to patreon.com/radicalpersonalfinance, sign up to support the show on Patreon, and join me for next week's Q&A call. patreon.com/radicalpersonalfinance.